Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, finally Friday, August 4th, 2023. And before we jump into our topic, O death, where is your sting? Or why we shouldn't be afraid of death, Pastor Jason Schiffel will facilitate. Because last week, we had this discussion with our group of friends here, and we decided, hey, wouldn't that be a great future topic? Well, thank you, God, for Pastor Jason's intent on following up and studying God's Word, and so he'll present some overviews on how we should think about death, or what we shouldn't think about when we think about death. But first, for those of you that tried to tune in 102.5, 103.9, or 97.1 FM today, Lord willing, in a few hours, it'll be reestablished. The antenna will be operational, or I should say the four bay antennas. It's about 50 feet worth of antenna that is being changed from one tower to another and repaired and put back on. So hopefully, if you're hearing this, this is the re-airing in the evening, but we're praying that God will have that all worked out and done. We were off the air all day yesterday on Thursday, and so part of the day today, those three frequencies will be silent until we get to power them up. And I have three new guests in the studio. We have Richard, his granddaughter Addison, and his granddaughter Riley Skaggs. They're from the Colfax, Arrowsmith area. They attend the Arrowsmith Christian Church, where a couple weeks ago, that's where I got to preach and talked about the Lord's Prayer. And I think Richard was one of the very first to start saying, I'm going to commit to saying the Lord's Prayer each and every day at noon. Well, right before we did this broadcast, we all said the Lord's Prayer together. Some of us said death, some of us said trespasses, but that's okay. The Lord knows our intent was just to connect with him, to know him better, and I hope you're getting motivated by saying the Lord's Prayer each and every day at noon. And in fact, we are working on the website, but if you go to greatnewsradio.org and you hit on the ministry tab, you'll see Pray the Lord's Prayer at Noon and all sorts of information on how to sign up. And in fact, earlier I recorded Addison, Riley, and Richard saying the Lord's Prayer. So you'll hear them reminding all of us at noon to say and pray the Lord's Prayer. And maybe it'll be you coming into the studio at some point also doing that. But today's discussion is a little bit, maybe a discussion you haven't had much time to talk about or think about, but death, it's inevitable. It's going to happen to all of us, but we don't have to fear it. Right, Pastor Jason?
That's true. We don't have to fear it, but I think we do have to acknowledge that there is difficulty around the topic and that there is difficulty in talking about the topic. So today we're going to do two things. We're going to balance a discussion about truth up and against the difficulty of what it means to navigate that truth. Because all of us in this room at some point or another have experienced death, have experienced either the fear of death, where we have experienced, we've got a diagnosis, something has happened where we're not sure if we're going to have tomorrow. Maybe we've been in an accident and we're like, wow, that was really close. I mean, I might not be here. I could not have been, you know, or we've had somebody who we dearly love who has died. And we've had to navigate that territory. We've had to navigate what that looks like. And so it affects and it touches all of us. I think there's the old adage or joke, right? The inevitability, all of us will deal with death and taxes. And it comes knocking on the door for all of us. So we want to be sensitive as we balance truth and what it means to walk through that. I mean, even it says in the Bible that David walked through the valley of the shadow of death and he feared. It was difficult. It was hard. The Lord had to lead him to a place of still water and green pastures because of the difficulty. And David couldn't navigate it on his own, right? I mean, the Bible says that the Lord, he made him lay down in that green grass because David, that was not natural to him. For us, navigating death with a view of how God navigates that is not natural to us. And so let's maybe just begin by talking about that. What does that look like? Maybe in ways that you've encountered loss, maybe in ways that you've personally or in your community, maybe your friend group or whatever that is. Why is it so difficult? Why is it so hard?
Well, there are many different circumstances. There are many ways that people find out that their loved ones have passed. For me, my husband I got a phone call, and I was 35 and he was 39 years old, and he had a sudden heart attack. And of course, that's just devastating, right? It's shock. It's just, I couldn't understand what the person on the phone was saying. I just literally could not make out the words that they were saying to me. I think my brain just lost it and I couldn't even communicate anymore. But I also remember as I started dealing with that with my two boys, I remember specifically, you know, I've always been a faithful person. I've always believed in God. I've always felt like I didn't fear death. I wasn't walking around worried about that. And then when I lost my husband, it seemed like everything changed. You know, I remember specifically I couldn't sleep at night. And I remember about 2 o'clock in the morning, I just sat straight up in my bed and I thought, wait a second, are you really trying to tell me that he's up in the sky right now? Like, I've always believed that my whole life. And all of a sudden I was like, what? Like, there's no way. He's gone. Like, he's just ripped off the earth. He's just gone. And it's very, very hard to experience that and to just navigate your mind and even your belief system just can get a little bit questionable and a little bit disassembled when things like that happen with trauma, with disaster in general. So I understand that feeling. Anybody else?
Well, I was thinking, Jason, the mystery of it, because other than Jesus, well, and a few examples in the Bible where people were healed or raised from the dead, but we don't have an experience of what it means to be dead and then return.
That's true, and we don't have a testimony for that, right? We don't have too many people other than Jesus himself who said, hey, this happened, and then I came back, and this is what it's like, and this is what the experience of it is. Is there anybody else who wants to share maybe an experience of death or even just the fear of death?
I was thinking that death is something that over time, I'm older, and so at my age, why, I can see death as just part of life. Mm-hmm. But when you're younger and growing, you have to guard your life and live your life with a guard to protect your life, mm-hmm. so you can live. And when you live like that, why, you're always productive and you're serving the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to put Addison or Riley on the spot, because you probably have lost maybe a little pet, maybe a cat or a dog or a fish. Was that hard for you?
Definitely. We just lost my childhood pet, my cat, Trixie. She died the other day, and that was really devastating, but I know she's going to be happy now.
Mm. And did your parents help you through those emotions and that it's a reality, it's a loss?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Our dad skipped work that day so that he could help us.
And I think it's important to clarify that when we talk about how hard this is, generally the difficulty around it comes because we love. It becomes because of the call and the command that God gives us to love. And so we love people. We love pets. We love those. And when they die, when they are no longer here, that's difficult because there's this absence of this thing that we poured ourselves into. We poured our love into. You know, when I've had dear friends pass away, you know, they're people who I've spent a great amount of time with during the week. You know, every week, Larry Bunting and I would get together and we would spend a lot of time together. And I poured out a lot of love into his life and he into mine. And all of a sudden, there becomes this absence of that. And that is very difficult. Number one, you may say to yourself, well, what do I do now with that love that I poured out in that place? And it really kind of discombobulates our life. I mean, I think to Melissa's comment, you know, it becomes hard to sleep. It becomes hard to function because your life has now been reordered in a way that you did not expect. And for many of us, we're okay if we know something might happen and we can kind of begin to build some safeguards as to what that's going to look like. But when it comes and it happens suddenly, it is very, very difficult because we are not prepared in any way, shape, or form, even when we know it's going to happen. Maybe a loved one has a disease or something, and we know they've been in the hospital. We know it's coming. That moment is still difficult. But when it kind of blindsides us, it is very difficult because we have no idea how to handle that. And I'll be honest with you. I'll be very transparent. One of the difficulties I've had is when those things come suddenly into my life, I'll build up some safeguards afterwards that are not always very helpful. You know, we call those walls, or we call those kinds of things like, okay, well, I'm going to kind of have these things so that I protect myself from the effects of what that's going to look like going forward. And what I've always found is when we do that, some of those safeguards tend to prohibit us from loving the way we're supposed to. They make loving even harder because we put these guards up. And listen, I think that when it comes to loving, we always want to be careful. We always want to be wise, but we don't want to have guardrails because guardrails are going to cause us to question where we should love. And the only thing God commands us to do is to love with like kind of an abounding love, an overwhelming love, a lavish love. And so it's very difficult. Now, I think one of the things that we have to talk about is that death is present because of sin. Now, that doesn't mean that the people that we love who have died were necessarily, they died because of sin. They died because the effect of sin brought death into the world. And so when sin became present, all of a sudden this kind of unhindered communion that we had with God in the garden, Adam and Eve had with God, all of a sudden there becomes a problem. I mean, we read in the Bible that Adam died post that sin entering into the world. He felt the effects of sin. All of a sudden, life had a turkey timer. It only lasted for a certain amount of time. I mean, even at best, most of us only have a certain amount of time. You know, even if we live to what we would call an old life, we only have so much time. And some of us, like James says, your life is like a mist and a vapor. We don't know when it's going to happen. When we're not going to be here any longer. So we kind of have a rule in our house, though we fight to navigate it, is that how are we going to live today to the fullest? You know, we don't want to sin. We don't want to give ourselves to things that we shouldn't. But how do we live today to the fullest? And the other thing is that when my wife and I, we try our best to never leave on bad terms, to never exit, you know, she goes to work and we're in the middle of an argument because I don't know. We don't know what'll happen. And you would hate for the last words that you say to be words that you didn't mean to say. And so what I think we need to do always when we come to something difficult, at least this is what I do, is I always like to go to the Bible. I always like to go to what God says because I have a lot of thoughts and ideas around death. But what I always need to do is take my thoughts and my ideas and bring God's word to bear upon those things because my thoughts and ideas are affected by the brokenness of the world, my desire to live longer, my desire to do all kinds of things. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think is a great, Mark read that at the beginning of the show, and I think it's a great passage. I want to begin in verse 50. It says, and Paul writing to the church in Corinth, he says, what I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters. Now listen, dear brothers and sisters. So what does Paul, how does he feel about these people?
He loves them.
He loves them. Okay, so that's important. Because I always tell people whenever I facilitate a funeral, I say, we're all here because we loved. This hurts because we loved. This is hard because we loved. That's why this is difficult ground to navigate, because we love. When Paul says, dear brothers and sisters, he's telling them, I love you guys. I love you guys dearly. But he says this, what I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't experience the kingdom of God in our physical bodies right now, because Jesus said it's right here, it's at hand, it's imminent, it's all around you. But the fullness of the kingdom of God, we can't experience, because the fullness of the kingdom of God is, what do you think that is?
After our death.
Okay, but what do you think it is? The fullness of the kingdom of God is what?
No sin.
Is what?
No sin.
No sin, yeah.
We'll be in his presence.
Will be in his presence. I want to clarify that I think the fullness of the kingdom of God is the fullness of the king. The kingdom is meaningless without the king. And so the fullness of the kingdom of God is the fullness of God's presence. And so one of the things that brings me great joy, even in the difficulty of navigating the hard ground of death, is that the people that I love who have passed on are in the presence of God. They're in the fullness of his kingdom. There's something about that they know that I can't even put my hands on. And so I always, again, when I do funerals, I say to people, I say, we all wish that that person was here. But I'm going to tell you, I don't think that they wish that they were here. I think that as they experience the fullness of the presence of God, they're like, why would I want to go back to that broken place? That place that's so difficult and so hard. I'm around the throne singing hallelujah and witnessing and experiencing the things I only had glimpses of as I did Bible studies and attended church. And you know what I mean? And so Paul is saying that, listen, our physical bodies, we can't inherit the fullness of the kingdom of God because that is spiritual. You know, we have such difficulty navigating physical and spiritual all at the same time. In fact, I think Jesus was the only person who could really do that well. And so we inherit the fullness of God's presence when we're in his presence. And so Paul says that, and then he says, it will happen in a moment, in a blink of an eye. That's crazy, because most of the times when I've lost people that I love, it hasn't come with a lot of foresight. It's happened kind of in a blink of an eye, in a moment. I didn't expect it. And I think that was some of the testimony, right? If you've gotten that phone call, the knock at the door, the whatever, where somebody said, so-and-so, they're not with us anymore. I think to Melissa's testimony, and maybe to some, you don't know what to do in that moment, right? You weren't prepared. It's the blink of an eye. It's in a moment. And all of a sudden, we have to navigate what that new ground looks like. And then Paul says in verse 53, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. And so our mortal bodies are marred with what? What do we all carry the stain of?
Sin.
Sin. Yeah. And so part of that transformation is that when we stand in glory in the presence of God, we no longer carry the stain of what?
Sin.
Right. That's what allows us to stand in the presence of God. The fullness of his presence is that we no longer carry that. And so this is wonderful news. I mean, when I really like think from God's word about what it means, it really brings me great comfort. It doesn't erase the hurt that happens because the people that I love, I can't just call them. I can't just go out to eat with them. I can't just share life with them. I can't tell them the stories I really want to tell them about my day. But I know that they're standing in the presence of God. I know that the stain that I, that the struggles that I still have, they don't have anymore. They don't have those things anymore. And I love how Paul says this in verse 51. And actually, I forgot to read this, but it came before, you know, this blink of an eye that will be transformed. He says this, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. And I don't think that it's a secret, because the Bible's the best-selling book in the whole world. Mm-hmm. So we all have a Bible. It's not a secret. But I think that we inherently try to make it a secret because we want to turn away from it. When I talk to people, and I know in my own life, I spend a lot of time trying to avoid the topic of loss, death, those kinds of things, because it's so hard. This conversation even right now is hard to have, only because I know that on the other end, somewhere listening right now, you've experienced that. You've gone through that. And it's not easy. Even hearing about it kind of digs up some things that you and I and all of us have tried to push away or push down. And so this is a difficult thing to talk about. And so it's a wonderful secret. Because it is wonderful, because it tells us what God thinks and who God is. It draws us nearer and closer to him. But at the same time, oh, we want to turn maybe a little bit of a blind eye to it. We want to keep it a secret. And then Paul says this, death has been swallowed up in victory. What do you think he means by that? Death is the result of what?
Our sin.
Of sin. So when he says death has been swallowed up in victory, what do you think he's talking about?
The removal of sin and the experience of that in the kingdom.
Right. He's talking about the cross. And Melissa, I would love for you to share this, because I've heard you talk about this in a few different places, and you even alluded to it right here, the wrestling that happened after you experienced the loss of your husband. Mm-hmm. You were wrestling your way to the cross, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good way of putting that, for sure. Because there are people who experience death and they get so upset that they wind up denouncing God. For me, I didn't do that. I always know God. I always have God in my life. I always pray. I didn't stop doing any of those things. What I did, though, was I just felt like, wait a second. It was the mirroring of reality in the flesh to what is beyond that, that I thought I knew, but then I just really couldn't grasp at that moment. You know, and then you start wrestling with your faith. You start wrestling, you go deeper and deeper in that, and you really start questioning everything within you, your entire belief system as it stands. You know, for me, I couldn't sit in church for 5 years. And I love church. I mean, I'm in church every single Sunday, take my boys to church. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because I didn't want to be in church. It was just because sitting there, I would just bawl my eyes out. Ultimately, someone would say something, or I would look around at the families and the couples, and I would think, they have no idea. They have no idea what's ahead, right? But to your point, what's ahead is the glory of God, the victory of the kingdom. What's ahead is so much better than what we're experiencing here. It's just so hard to feel that in that moment of loss and trauma.
And so I think there's something that everybody who's listening right now needs to hear from that story, and that's this. Was Jesus faithful through all of that time that you wrestled?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. The problem was never Jesus. The problem was me grappling with grief, with loss, with uncertainty in the flesh and in this life, with how to explain this to my children, how to care for them. And I did probably what a lot of parents do, which is we put ourselves behind and we worry about our children and we don't deal with ourselves. Mm-hmm. We just push that back, as you said, as a parent, deal with our children. We know all the right things to say. We just can't feel it in our hearts for ourselves at that moment. And we suppress it and we move it off, but it waits for us. And God waits for us because God knows. Mm-hmm. So it will come about at some point, whether it's sooner or later.
Yeah, and so the scripture says, death is swallowed up in victory. The victory of cross, the sting of sin and death is swallowed up in the cross. That's where we have to come and we trust and we put our faith and we wrestle what that looks like. Because listen, death does still have a sting. But we have to say to death, where is your sting? And that should always, as the followers of Jesus, bring us to the cross. Bring us to the place where Jesus poured himself out, where he experienced human death to overcome sin and death and to bring us into the Father's presence. And that's why Paul, as we close this program, says in verse 58, so my dear brothers and sisters, there that is again, he loves them. This is what he loves them enough to tell them. Be strong and immovable. Be strong and immovable in this truth, that death isn't the end of the story. It isn't a period on the end of the sentence, because Jesus cries out to death and says, where is your sting? I swallowed it up at the cross.
I like to think that's where our real life begins.
Mm-hmm. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? If you're a follower of Jesus or you're entertaining the idea of following him, he can bring healing and hope and encouragement. There's a destiny for you as you ask him into your heart, as he becomes your Lord and Savior. There's an eternity with Father God that you'll enjoy. And may you make that decision today. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, recognize you're a sinner, that you need a Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And he'll enter your heart. He'll bring hope and healing to your life. And if you need to talk to somebody about having a relationship with Jesus, call 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with A Room of Friends and with Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.